Hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you to this program, this recording, that is. And today we're going to be going into our third recording and third lesson on the letter W. And the letter W, we're studying what the Bible has to say about witnessing and being a witness. We learned together the last two lessons about what does witnessing mean, and we've seen in the scriptures where there was a fellow that the Lord gave his sight back to, and he went around and was witnessing, and all them Pharisees and everybody else was giving him a hard time wanting to know how he got his sight back. And they didn't like the Lord Jesus to begin with, and they was trying to manipulate this guy, and he finally just came out and said, whether he be a prophet or not, I don't know. And there's a lot of things I don't know, but one thing I know is once I was blind, and now I see. And he knew who did it. And then that lady at the well, you remember, the Lord met up with her and asked her for a drink of water, and she started talking to him about how the Samaritans and the Jews were not supposed to be in contact with one another, and the Jews didn't have nothing to do with them. And the Lord told her about the living water, and then told her what she was doing, that she'd been with five men, and asked her about her husband, and she said she didn't have a husband. He said, I know you got a husband. You had five, and you're living with one now. And she said, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. And the Lord talked to her about the living water, which was himself. He was life. He said, I think he said something like, I that speak unto thee am he. And she ran. She just left her jug there, and she was going to get some water. And she took off to the city and got all them fellas and brought and said, is this not the Christ? And the first thing she wanted to do was witness. See, she wanted to go tell somebody. So we're talking about witnessing, and what does witnessing mean? And we also talked about our witnessing and soul winning, the same thing. And I think we got the gist of that, about what witnessing and soul winning are. Witnessing is more about your autobiography, if you will, having to do with your salvation, and how you became a member of God's family, and how you were born into God's family. And soul winning is using your witness, or part of using your witness, to try to get somebody else in God's family. Soul winning. Winning their souls. Because the soul's going to live forever. Every person you pass during the day, that you walk by during the day, in a body, that's just what they are. They're in that body. That body's going back to the dirt. And their soul is going somewhere whenever that body dies. And it's going to live forever somewhere. And according to the Bible, there's only two places. In spite of what all the Catholics and everybody else says, and all the intermediate places that everybody comes up with, and this and that and the other, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says in Luke chapter 16 there wasn't but two places, either Abraham's bosom or hell. One or the other. Now we know that Abraham's bosom's not there anymore, or not being used anymore, that is. It said hell hath expanded herself. When the Lord resurrected, he took those saints with him, and they're in heaven now. They're in heaven now because sin is not only forgiven in the Old Testament, now in the New Testament, under the New Covenant, they're taken away. So they can go into God's presence and go into heaven itself. And that's where they're at. But nevertheless, heaven or hell, heaven or hell. And everybody, this is 2021, the month of August. And since I was a boy, I was born in 1960. I'm old, and born in 1960, and I'm going to tell you something. Society and outside in the world, in the environment, as you walk through society, and as you look around yourself at everything, everything is different. When I was a boy, things were nothing like what they are now. Now, in the book of Peter, the Bible says Peter prophesied that things are going to wax, that there are going to be perilous times to come. And that's talking about dangerous times. And they're here. And people are deceived. There's deceit. Jeremiah said, your habitation is in the midst of deceit. Now, besides who he was talking to when he was preaching that, that is pretty well a double prophecy, because it talks to everybody, because things are waxing worse and worse in spite of what all your let's all be one and everybody's happy, God is happy, I'm happy, you're happy, everybody's happy. Then why is everybody taking dope? If you're happy, why are you taking dope? If everything's so good and wonderful, how come you taking psych medicine? If everything's so good and wonderful, how come you beating everybody? How come you 5-year-olds are killing their mamas and daddies? How come a 5-year-old little girl hung herself off her the twin beds they had when it got sent to her bedroom, went in there and took her belt and put it around her neck and hung herself off her bed? A 5-year-old. Now, you tell me what's in a 5-year-old's mind, only been living on the earth and been alive 5 years, and everything she has soaked in 5 years, into her mind and into her heart, she looks around her and she couldn't find nothing to live for. And somehow, some way, she figured out how to kill herself and did it. That's not dangerous times. You better believe it is. It is. It's dangerous times. But nevertheless, everybody's going to die. It's appointed unto men once to die. Every man is going to die. His body's going to die. And somewhere or another, unless the Lord comes and gets us and raptures us out of here, which is the next thing, according to the Scriptures, as far as I know, to happen. That's what we're waiting on. And the Lord's going to come and get us, and if he doesn't, then you're going to die and go be with him. But nevertheless, everybody's going to die, and them souls are going somewhere. So that's something that we need to be concerned about, because our future's taken care of, Christian. Our future's taken care of. We are in the family of God. No matter what happens, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. When that day comes that my soul's got to go somewhere and it leaves this body, or either Jesus comes and the rapture happens, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. I've committed my soul unto him for safekeeping, and that he will perform that in that day. That he's going to do what he said he'll do. And I know he will. Don't you? It ain't hope. It is hope, but it's hope that's concrete. It ain't hope as in, I hope it happens. It's hope as in, man, I ain't got to worry. I got hope. So the thing that we need to be doing here is to get our thought patterns right and get our thinking right. The Bible tells us clearly not to set up no affections on things of the earth. Not to be in love and have your affections on things of this earth. Not trying to save a bank account. Not trying to get your retirement. And I ain't saying there's something wrong with all that, but I'm saying you spend too much time on it. The Lord said that there are priorities for Christians. If you're saved and you're on your way to heaven, then you're supposed to be, you're camping out here. You're sojourning is what the Bible says. That means camping out. You ain't staying here. You're just passing through. So what we need to be doing is, while we're passing through, is looking at this world in the way that a Christian ought to be looking at it. Because you see things that the lost don't see. You see things through spiritual eyes. You're the only one that can do that, because God the Holy Ghost dwells in you and the Word of God is in you. And that's why you're listening to this, is to enlighten, is to strengthen the Word of God in you and saturate yourself with the Word of God so that you will see things the way God sees them. And we're supposed to be, what little bit of time that we have here on this earth, we're supposed to be thinking about that and doing something about it. And witnessing, I mean, the Baptists are good for that. Independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptists. And I ain't got nothing again. I love, there's some Baptists that I love. There's some, I've met Christians from all over. When I was running that Troubled Men's Camp up in Pennsylvania, we went to all kinds of churches, and I've seen true, devoted to Jesus Christ, born-again Christians in some of the strangest places you ever see. But I forgot what I was going to say. Anyway, moving right along. Thank you, Lord. Lord, block them things. You don't want me to say it, he'll block it. That's good. Are witness and soul winning the same thing? Well, yes and no. Yes and no. Your witness is what you, is you telling somebody about what happened to you and something that you know to be true, and soul winning is trying to get somebody else to commit to the Lord, to ask the Lord to save them and get their soul won and get them in the family of God. Now, we begin another category. Why should you be a witness and a soul winner? How come? Why? Well, we went through, we had nine things we was going to talk about, and I think we finished three of them. One of them was it's a command. One of them, it was a duty. Another one, the third one, was it is a debt. And we're going to pick up right there. The next one, the fourth one is, the fourth reason why we should be a witness and a soul winner is it's a responsibility. It's a responsibility. Just like I got through talking just a minute ago, there's a reason that the Lord left us here. Why did he leave us here? If we got saved and the Bible teaches that we have everlasting life, we ain't never going to die. We're going to be with the Lord forever. We're going to have everlasting life, eternal life, or not have, we do have. And we're present with the Lord in heaven, according to the Bible right now. I don't understand a whole lot of that, but that's what the Bible says. It's just as if we are already there. So, what are we supposed to be doing here? Why did the Lord leave us here? I mean, why didn't he just take us? When you get saved, boom, you go to heaven. Why not? It'd been all right with me, you. Yeah. But that's not it. That's not it. The Bible gives us a lot of reasons. The Apostle Paul gave us a lot of reasons of why the Lord left us here in the body. And one of them is to be responsible to the Lord and to show your gratitude toward him and to help him, because now you're on the Lord's side. And it's a responsibility. Let me read something to you. In the book of Ezekiel, in the Old Testament, listen to this. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 and 18 says, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life. Some people are too stupid to know that you're trying to save their life. To save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Now, that's Old Testament, and that's the Lord talking to Ezekiel about Israel, particularly. He wasn't talking to the Gentiles. He's talking to Israel, because Israel is God's God's chosen. We are too, but we're in the body of Christ, and that's a whole nother study and everything else. You don't have to worry about that. You're not competing with Israel. God's competing with Israel right now, and they're getting it. They're getting beat up pretty bad. But one day, they're going to get that land that God promised Abraham and his descendants, and they're going to get that land, and they're going to be there, and Jesus Christ is going to be sitting on a throne, ruling and reigning right there with them out of Jerusalem. And he's going to be sitting on the throne of David, and just like God promised, and them Jews are going to be there, and all the nations are going to be respecting them Jews instead of what they've been doing to them. But anyway, the Lord warned Ezekiel, gave him, he said, I have made thee a watchman. Now, there's something to that. There used to be around all the cities, there used to be some corners. On the corners of them cities, they'd put towers up there. And they'd put a man up there and have different shifts, and those fellows would stand up there and they'd watch. And they would watch. And they would see somebody coming. They were to blow that horn, and they were to warn the people that somebody's coming. And if he didn't blow the horn and somebody came and got in that fort and attacked that, or not the fort, but the city, and got in there and messed things up, then they were going to hold that watchman accountable. That's how important he was to save people's lives. And that's what the Lord said here to Ezekiel. He said, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life." You see, when you tell people what God says, you're trying to save their life. You're not trying to offend them. God's word is 75% negative. It's offensive. Because you know why? It's alive. It's God Almighty's word, and it liveth and abideth forever. And when that word speaks, it knows who it's talking to. And it knows the secrets of your heart, and it knows what your heart's about, and knows why your heart is the way it is. And when it tells you something, it tells you the truth. And most of the time, the truth, when it gets told to somebody, as wicked as society is now and getting worse, it's going to offend. Because people like their little wicked sandwiches. People love wickedness. They slop it up like a bunch of hogs. They love being in a hog pen. And that's the way it is. But when you're trying to get them out, you got to say, "Look here, hog, I got to get you out of there." And the first thing, now you let go of that hog, just like the Bible says, first place, you can go out there and wash him up and clean him up, and what happens? If you leave the gate open, he goes running right back in there and does a swan dive right back in the mud hole. And that's how people are. But the Lord said that he's made watchmen for that reason. Now, I don't believe that the Lord is talking to us right there, but I believe inspirationally and spiritually that we can apply that to us. Because the Lord left us here. And in the New Testament, the Bible says that there's responsibilities that the Lord has given us. Well, let's read some more scripture. 2 Corinthians, that's the New Testament. Let's read that. 2 Corinthians and Apostle Paul, chapter 5, verse 20. The Bible said, "Now then we are ambassadors." Okay? What's an ambassador? An ambassador is someone that belongs to one people or one family, and he is not living with his family or living among his people. He is over somewhere else, living somewhere else, representing his city and his rulers. Okay? And what the Lord's talking about is that we are ambassadors for Christ. We're in a foreign place. This world on this earth is not our home. But we're here, and we're representing Christ. "Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." In Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, the Bible says, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" You see, as we read the scriptures and what Paul and all the other apostles in the New Testament talk about, they're all teaching us in a roundabout way. All of them come together and say, "Listen, this is what it's about. Everybody you're looking at is going to die. And no matter what they're after, I mean, what shall it profit a man if he gained the whole world?" And that's what the world's trying to do, is getting every person on this planet don't know Christ, is trying to get in a position to where they have the whole world in their pocket. And then they lose that soul. You see, what we talked about a while ago about our thinking is different than what the world is. The way that you see out of your eyeballs is different. You're seeing spiritual things. They're seeing worldly and carnal things. Darkness. They're in darkness. They can't see. You're seeing light. You're seeing what the truth is and what's real in this world. People are dying and they're suffering and they're God's enemies and God hates them. He's gonna burn them. You say, God don't hate nobody. You better read your Bible some more. Yes, he does. Who you know that God loved that he put in hell? Forever. The Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. And the Bible says that God's wrath abideth on them. Who do you know that God's wrath abides on them and he's giving them little hoochie-coochie kisses and huggy-wuggies and warmy-warmies and all that kind of stuff? That's what the world wants you to think, and that's the kind of eyeballs they're looking through. That's not what the Bible says. It's a responsibility. Ezekiel said that there's such things as watchmen, and the Lord made him a watchman on purpose to watch out for Israel so that when the Lord speaks and warns them and tells them about their wicked ways and that they're going to die, and Ezekiel did not go tell them what God said, then he was going to hold them accountable and hold their blood when they die in their sins. He was going to hold their blood or die in their iniquity. He was going to hold his blood. Well, I'll require at thine hand. Now, I don't know. I've not done a whole lot of studying. As I've been looking at this, I've wondered about it, but I hadn't purposely sat down and studied it to see what God says about it as far as us in the New Testament being responsible for the blood of others. The Bible says every man shall give account of his own self unto God. And I don't know how much we're going to be responsible, because when we go to, this is talking about life and death in the Old Testament, heaven and hell. We're not going to hell, but we do sit under a judgment. We're going to sit under Christ's judgment and be judged for the works that we did in this body. And that's what we're talking about right now as an ambassador. You're here to work, because heaven's coming. Heaven's there, and it's waiting on us. But while we're here in this wicked world, and there's no question mark whether it's wicked, is it? There's no question mark whether people are suffering from sin, is it? There's no question mark whether the Bible's true, is it? There's no question mark about whether or not you're saved, is it? Then why are we here? To be walking in his ways and being a light to this world and partaking of every opportunity that the Lord gives us to be as faithful a witness as we possibly can and tell the truth to the world. Person by person, opportunity by opportunity. There is such thing as systematic soul winning, and my brother that taught me how to soul win, one of my mentors, he taught me how to soul win, and that's what we did. We lived in a college town, and we had thousands of college kids in apartments that we could go talk to, and we did. We knocked on doors and doors and doors and doors and doors and talked to lots of people, and I learned how to soul win. And I learned what spiritual soul winning, talking to the world from God the Holy Ghost point of view and through the scriptures trying to win people to the Lord. But everything in this life is not systematic. I mean, the Lord will give you opportunities and use you to do things that you don't even know are going on to be a witness. The Bible says if there first be a willing mind. A willing mind. That's the way we're supposed to be. That's our part of the responsibility, is that we're willing. Yes, Lord. Whatever you say. Whatever you say, Lord. And we learn to trust him, and even if it's dangerous or whatever the Lord puts us in, that he's going to bring us out in the end, because we're serving him and we love him. We're in his family. He's our father, and he has done some tremendous, wonderful, kind things for us, and we know it, and we're devoted to him. It's a debt, but it's a responsibility. In a real sense, God has made us a watchman. The Bible doesn't say anything about watchmen in the New Testament, but it does say that we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled. The duty of a watchman is to what? Warn. Warn those in danger. You know, this world has got so candy, and ice cream and cotton candy talking and smoochy woochy and lovey dovey that nobody hears nothing negative that's true. Nobody wants to hear nothing negative. They say they don't want to hear nothing about hell, but they use the word in their language almost every day. The hell you say. Hell with you. What the hell are you doing? You know, they use the word, but when you start talking about what the scriptures say about him, you offended me. I'm going to go get you a prescription or something. Now, when we fail to tell others about Christ, the first thing is that what the Lord said in Ezekiel there is that the wicked man's going to die in his iniquity. The fact of the matter is that everybody's going to die. You agree with that? Sure, it'd be stupid not to, wouldn't we? Have you ever known anybody that has defeated death yet? Guess what? Here's a fact for you. Everybody in history since the beginning of the world from Adam that died. Yeah, they're all dead. You said, well, there's one or two that you talking about Enoch? You talking about who was it, Elijah? Those are exceptions to the rule. The rule is all men die. When we fail to tell others about Christ, the wicked man shall die in his sin, in his iniquity, the Bible says. And then it also says that God will require his blood at your hand. Now, maybe at your hand, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to bring it up, that you had the opportunity to win that person. And it's going to be hard enough if we're at the white throne judgment to see them cast in the lake of fire. The Bible says God's going to wipe away all the tears from our eyes after all that. I believe there's going to be a lot of tears and opportunities that I missed, that I know I missed, that I know I chickened out of. And sometimes the devil tricks you out of it too. A lot of it's his fault. But some of it is that we are scared and won't have the courage to go ahead and do what we know is right and to warn them. Because we don't want to get no trouble, no argument, no bunch of conflict. And the way the world is now, they try to get you in trouble and blabbity, 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 blab. But we got to remember that we have a God that's all-powerful. And the Lord has done some tremendous things for me to manipulate things. Not manipulate, as the word is, a good manipulation. Move things around in situations to where I didn't have to worry about it to begin with, as long as I just done what I knew was supposed to do as far as witnessing. I've seen God make judges do things in front of my eyes. I've seen him make those people that come out and get your children from you and stuff like that. I've seen him make them do things right then, right now. I sure have. God can do anything. But as far as God requiring the blood at our hand, I don't think it's going to be the blood. I think what it is no longer your soul, but the judgment seat of Christ. It ain't going to cost you your soul for not doing it. It's going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. And you're going to lose rewards for that. You see. And it's going to matter to you about the rewards. We don't do these things for rewards. We don't serve the Lord because we want rewards from Him. But He's kind enough to give them to us and going to give them to us. But we don't serve the Lord for rewards. We serve Him to do those things that are pleasing in His sight. I, above all else, and you too, want to do what's pleasing in His sight. I want Him to be proud of me, that He knows that I'm sincere and that I mean business, and I ain't, and in my heart I've not wickedly departed from Him in my heart, and I'm sincere with Him. And even though I mess up and trip and everything else and embarrass Him sometimes, He still knows I'm sincere. And so does He know you are. So it's a responsibility. I mean, we can't walk away from that. So let's move on. What else is a reason why we should witness and be a soul winner? Well, it's a calling. It's a calling. What do you mean? Well, like what we read just a minute ago, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He's talking to us. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. What's an ambassador's responsibility and what's his purpose? It's to represent, like the ambassadors that we have in the United States and other countries, they represent the government and represent the president and the leaders of the United States in other places. The Bible says, now then, we, and that's Paul talking to all of us, are ambassadors for Christ. And if you're born again, you are an ambassador for Christ. And we are to be representing the Lord one way or the other. Representing Christ. It's a calling. Each believer is an ambassador for Christ. And this is a very important position to be entrusted with. You shouldn't take it lightly, because we are talking about eternity. One day, all of this, what we're looking at, is going to be done and over with. The Lord's going to fold that heaven up like a, He said He's going to fold it up like a, or pull it away like a, I can't remember, fold it up. It's, the heaven's going to be like it's blocked, and it's going to just fold over and fold over and fold over. There ain't going to be no blue sky. There ain't going to be no stars and sun. It's going to be something else up there. But He's going to fold all that up. All we see right now is the first heaven during the day and the second heaven during night. But the Lord has chosen the earth for a headquarters for all of creation. They keep taking these billions and billions of dollars out of the poor people's pockets and sending these stinking rockets up there to get a rock and go out there as far as they can where they can't breathe to begin with, and go out there and think that they're going to see something new. They're not going to see nothing. But until the Lord folds that place up there, folds everything up, and then you're going to see it. The Bible says the Lord hangs the sun and the moon on nothing. It's a calling, and it's a very important position, because one day all this is going to be done and over with, and it's going to be, you see how fast your life goes back. You already done looked behind you already and said, man, where'd them years go? Well, that ain't nothing. The Bible says 1,000 years is as a day to the Lord. I don't get that, do you? But I have looked back and said, man, where did them 50 years go? That's a little bit of it. But it's important, because everybody, every living human being that has passed from birth to death, from creation until whenever this the Lord comes back to set up His kingdom at the second coming. Excuse me, that was a virus threat on my computer. Stupid virus threat. Sorry about that. I'll try to take care of that some other time. But one day, it's going to all be over, and we're going to actually be literally there of what we're learning right now. And you're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to see these things as the opportunities that we had to win people to the Lord. And I know you're disappointed whenever you don't stand up and say something to somebody when you have when the Holy Ghost tells you, look, say something to them, or hand them a track, or do this or do that, or be a light, do this or do that, and you hear him, but you chicken out. I'm guilty. We feel stupid and embarrassed, and nobody knew anything but us and the Lord. And we're sorry we did it. Because we want to. Because we know how important it is in our heart. We just need to be more courageous. And we're willing. We just need to be strong and be courageous and do it. But it's hard to tell people that they're going to die and go to hell. And it's hard to tell them that the Lord's mad at them. And there's a way out. That's the good news. There's a way out. And the Lord's given it, but it ain't going to be long. It's going to be over with. I tell you what, this age of grace, out of all the dispensations as far as salvation goes, this age of grace is just what it is, the gospel of the grace of God. It is the easiest way to get to heaven that ever has been and ever will be. When this age of grace is over with, people are going to be, they're going to be finding out. They're going to be people saying, man, I wish I was back in the age of grace. Because the works are going to come back in. I'm glad God doesn't require works now. Aren't you? The only works he requires right now is of a willing heart and a willing mind. Do it for me because you love me. In all the other dispensations, it's do it or else. I'm glad to be living in this day. It's easy. The Lord's yoke is easy, and his burden is light. We need to be witnessing. It's a calling. Not only is it a calling, it's a need. It's a need. It's a command. It's a duty. It's a debt. It's a responsibility, and it is a calling, and there is a need. There's a need. Mark chapter 8, verse 36 says, for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? We know, I don't know how much you've strived to be rich and have everything and blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. I've went after money a few times. And failed miserably every time. Because that ain't the way the Lord wanted me to live. And he saved me out of that stupidity. You can live on almost nothing trusting the Lord. And he ain't never let me down. Ever. All sufficiency in all things. The Lord has never let me go without. He's given me every need I've needed at the exact time that I've needed and even before. The Lord knows what you have need of before you ask. And he takes care of you. He is faithful. Sometimes I'm ashamed to say that I need something to him, but he said to ask. But that ain't the way it is to the lost. They're chasing after vanity. They're chasing after stuff, and you already know that. You've been saved. You've been educated with the Lord's Word. You know what's right and what's wrong. You know what's vanity and what is not vanity and what's not vain. And the things of this world are going to pass away, the Bible says. And everything everybody's chasing is going to rot. And it's vanity. The Bible says every man at his best state is altogether vanity. And that's hard to swallow. But even when we're at our very best, we ain't worth nothing. unless it's spiritual and unless it has to do with the Lord's purpose. And unless we're in the family of God. But as far as being lost and walking on this earth and trying to have a purpose on this earth, the Lord says it's like a drop in a bucket, ain't nothing to Him. Don't mean squat. It's vanity. It's vain. Nothing amounts to nothing. Everybody says, let's go this way and let's do this. And then they say, let's go this way and do this. And every time, it's failure. Failure. It's a failure. How come man ain't figured out how to cure cancer yet? If he did, he'd won't charge you for it, wouldn't he? You see? How come man can't stop killing each other? I mean, what has man done that's not vanity? Name something. It's a calling. There is a need. Why is soul winning important? Because the Bible says that a man, what shall it profit a man if he gained the whole world? He didn't say if he gained a bank account or if he gained this or that. He said if he gained the whole world. What good is it if you lose your soul? I mean, the Lord put it right down where it needed to be in perspective right there. He said the whole world. If you had the whole world, and that's what the devil offered the Lord Jesus Christ, remember? What did the Lord do? He quoted the scripture back to him. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? We need to get things in perspective and what's important and what's not important. And this world is vain and it's a waste of time to try to do anything to make this place better. Oh, we're bringing in the kingdom. Man's going to bring in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you are. No, you're not. The Lord's going to gather you all you up, and he's going to make you attack Israel, and then he's going to come out of the sky at that second coming, and he's going to destroy you. That's what the Bible says. And I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to the ones in the world that think this world is something. It's a calling. There is a need, and that's not all. There's a reckoning. Everybody is going to stand before the Lord. One way or another. You're going to see God, like Job said, in my flesh I shall see God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, listen to this, and verse 10 and 11. For we must all, A-L-L. Now he's talking to Christians there, but we know that the lost are definitely going to stand before the Lord, but for different reasons and for a different judgment. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's just talking about the saved people. Everybody that's in the first resurrection stands before Christ. If you get up in the second resurrection, you're in trouble. Or the ones at the judgment, the white throne judgment. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Ever since you've been a Christian, have you done anything bad? Ooh, I have. I'm guilty of that. And that scares me. Because that means that the Lord's going to bring it up. And I hope it's a private judgment. Excuse me. I hope ain't millions and millions of saints standing around. There's a big drive-in theater billboard up there for them to look at, like most churches have now. Up there for you to look at and to see what's going on. I think most people are not going to want to say it. When it's your turn, most people are not going to want anybody to see the bad things. even though they're going to burn and your soul's not going to be, it's not going to cost you nothing for your soul, but it's going to cost you for your rewards. And it's probably going to be embarrassing too. I know some of the bad things that I've done as a Christian. I'm going to be on my knees with my head tucked between my, hiding. But it says good and bad, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, what a word to use there. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Oh, we ain't supposed to really fear God. Fear is reverential trust. No, terror. Terror. You know what terror is? It's what Moses said. He said, I quake and fear when he stood before God. He trembled and quaked, the Bible said. In other words, you ever been so scared that your body just quaked like you're being shocked with 220 electricity? Just bam, 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 bam. And your body's just so scared that your body is scared and shaking. You can't control it. That kind of scared. That's called terror. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You not only witness to them, you talk them into it. Persuade them. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The family of God judgment. That ain't got nothing to do with going to hell. That's got to do with being judged what you did in your body while you was here on this earth. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. This is talking to Christians and people that are in the body of being scared of Daddy, Abba, the Lord, the Father, our Father. Therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Man, you don't know what you're talking about turning God down. I knocked on a door one time and asked a guy, whether he knew whether he was going to heaven or he said, I don't want to know nothing about that. And I said, well, do you know what the consequences are? And he said, what? And I said, well, hell. The Bible says that if you don't have Christ and you don't receive Christ and believe on him, that God's going to put you in hell. He said, I want to go to hell, and slammed the door in my face. Can you imagine what's going to be when he stands before this God that brings terror to people? And the Lord says, I hear you want to go to hell. There's a reckoning. One day you will stand before the Lord, and we're talking to Christians right now, at the judgment seat. We're not even in the white throne business right now. Now, this is the judgment of how you serve the Lord while you are in your body, not about being saved. Anybody that goes to this judgment's already saved and in the family of God, never to be kicked out. In spite of what everybody says, all the stupid stuff people say. What kind of God would let you come into his family and then kick you out? And then send his son to bleed all over the place and to die and to suffer for you and then resurrect, be buried and resurrected, and then once you get saved, he kicks you out. That's kind of cheapening his son's sacrifice, wouldn't you say? But God don't do that. That's not what the Bible says. There's a reckoning. Now, what was Paul's motivation for persuading men in this verse? Listen, for we must all, because of the, he said, knowing, what was his persuasion? Why did he think that he needed to persuade men? He said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Paul's seen Jesus. He knows what he's talking about. And he went up to the third heaven too. And he seen that. That's what made him careless with it, whether or not he stayed in the body or not. He said he was ready to go anytime. He said, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. He said, but seeing things that were unspeakable. He couldn't even put them in words. And I believe him, don't you? But we're talking about witnessing. Brother and sister, there's all kind of ways. There's all kind of ways we can witness. And it ain't got to be, it shouldn't be. It should come from your heart. Witnessing is not, like we talked about, you can't legislate witnessing and soul winning. You can't legislate that. You can do it systematically, but the bottom line is witnessing and soul winning have to be heart things. Things from your heart. It ain't like trying to sell a car. Oh, my. And finally, we're talking about why should you be a witness and a soul winner? First of all, because it's a command. It's a duty. It's a debt. It's a responsibility. It's a calling. And there is a need. And there's definitely going to be a reckoning. There's going to be a reckoning for us, and there's going to be a reckoning. I'm going to tell you some stories before we get done with this witnessing, what the Lord's done with me. Even when I was misbehaving as a Christian, I should have been witnessing. The Lord still let me be part of some things, and I'm going to tell you about them. It was shameful on my part, and the Lord made it clear that it was shameful to me the way I was living, and I'll never forget it, and I'll tell you about it. But it's caring. It's caring. In Psalm chapter 142 and verse 4, the Bible said, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Let me ask you something. Can you remember when you were not saved and you were searching for God? I had a fellow, my neighbor, that lived right next to me. He knew when I moved in here that I was a Christian and that I was a preacher. And he wasn't saved. And by the time, one day he came over and knocked on my door. And when I opened it, he was standing there. And he looked at me and he said, listen, I need something. Do you know? He said, do you know God? And I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, well, can you tell me something about him? I said, yes, sir, come on in. And by the time he left, he got on his knees and asked the Lord to save him. Opportunities that the Lord can bring you like that. You never know where it's going to come from, and you never know what people are thinking in their heart. People think about God. No matter how fake the world makes everything look and how deceitful everything looks, there are people out there searching for the Lord, trying to find Him. They're in darkness, in a dark world, walking around with their hands out, looking for some light. And that's the truth. That's what the Bible says. Children of darkness. And the devil's blinding them. But it's caring. So much of today's caring centers on the physical needs of man. Real godly caring focuses on the eternal and the spiritual needs of man. The Lord said, you know, how are you going to... I mean, He did talk about the physical things also. He said, but not without the spiritual things. Most of your... And I say most of them, most of the ones that I've been around, all your what do I want to call them? Anyway, the places where all the street homeless go and stuff like that, the food bank, the food places, and the overnight sleeping and stuff like that, and all that kind of places. Used to, when you went in there, you had to listen, you had to be around God's Word. You got your food and you got clothes and got whatever you needed to help you with your body and to help you through all that, but you also got something spiritual. Now you don't. Now you don't. And they know better. Because unless you got to get them out of the hog pen first. And lastly, let's talk about one more thing. It brings joy. Man, let me tell you. Sometimes it is like it's repetitious because it's a battle. It's a battlefield, not a playground. It's a battlefield. And when the devil knows that you're going to try to soul win and that you're going to try to win somebody, he is going to throw things in front of you, and you're going to, your eyes are going to be like coon's eye. They're going to be big around, and you're going to say, what? How literal spiritual warfare is. You'll see the devil work right before your face when you're trying to win souls. But it brings joy. It brings joy. Listen to this. Acts chapter 8. Let me read that to you. Acts chapter 8 and verse 5. I'll give you these scriptures. Acts chapter 8 and verse 5 and 8 and 35 and 39. Listen to this. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And there was greatness, skipping over some of it so we don't read it all. You can read it all. I'll give it to you. And there was great joy in that city. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto them Jesus. And that's all you got to preach. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, or caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. That same fellow I was telling you about that came and knocked on my door, he got on his knees and he asked the Lord to save him. And then he left. And I said, well, are you saved? And he says, well, I don't know. I said, well, we'll know in a couple of days. He left. And then a couple of days later, I think it was about a week later, there was a washing machine right outside my door there, and he was out there, and I heard something. I went over the door, and I opened the door, and I said, hey, how you doing? He said, I'm doing all right. And I looked at him, and he looked at me, and I said, are you saved? And, man, there was a glow about him. I ain't kidding you not. There was a glow about him. He just smiled real big, you know. And there wasn't a word said. Nobody said nothing. Nobody said nothing. And it just tickled me inside. I had joy. I had joy. I had joy. And, you know, no matter what, one of the good things about it is that no matter what happens to him, the rest of his life on it, whether the devil wrecks him or kills him or whatever happens, that man is in God's family and he's on his way to heaven. And that is locked in and secure. He ain't never going to worry about going to hell again. And that's done and over with. Now God's going to deal with him like a son, which could be pretty bad for him if he's out there being a bad son, because God knows how to use a strap. He does, and he uses it. The Bible says he scolds. It says it. I can't think of the word right now. But anyway, he gives you a good whooping. And he does. When God gives you a whooping, you don't forget it. You don't forget it. But joy in soul winning. There is joy on the part of the people that know about it, the people that had to do with it, the people that preached it, and the people that got saved. Joy. In Luke chapter 15 and verse 7 and 10, the Bible says, I say unto you that likewise, not only joy among everybody that had to do with that situation, but likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. That is something, ain't it? Isn't that something? Do you always want to say something and make a whole bunch of people glad? All you have to do is present Jesus to somebody and them get saved, and you're going to make a bunch of noise happen in heaven. All the angels rejoice over one sinner that repents. You know why? Because they know the terror of the Lord too. And they know that when somebody repents and turns to a God that keeps His word, there's no more danger for that fellow. And that he has done right, he's turned to the Lord and exercised faith toward the Lord, and they know that there's a God that he put faith towards that keeps His word. He saved him, he's locked in, he's on his way to heaven, he's in the family of God, and the angels are up there hooplaing. That's tremendous. There's joy on earth among all the people that had to do with it and the ones that are having it due to them. I haven't been sorry for one day that I've been saved. I don't think there's anything about my salvation, even the whoopings God gave me. I don't think there's anything that I've said, I wish I had never been part of that. There ain't nothing about God that I've ever despised, even His whoopings. His whoopings bring out holiness in you. They make you more holy and more like Him. They hurt. And they hit the spot that needs to be hit. But in the end, it brings out holiness. It brings joy. Why should we be witnesses? It brings joy. And one last verse, Psalm chapter 126, verse 5 and 6. The Bible says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." And the Bible says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed," the Word of God, "shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." The Bible says, if you'll go, and you'll try, that God will give you fruit. He'll give you souls. That's what the Lord said. But it says, and see, when we get right, when we get our hearts right and in the right condition of soul winning and we're thinking right, you said, "They that sow in tears," what's that all about? Because you know what kind of, it's like David said, "I won't tell God to destroy them and what they did to me and what they're doing to me." And I'm just saying it kind of in a Koine English street language. David said, "All my enemies done this to me and done this to me and done this to me." But then when it come down all the way to the end, before I asked God to destroy them, he said, "I remembered their end." And when you remember people's end, if you're a Bible believer, it'll make your heart cry. It'll make your heart cry. When you get out telling people about the Lord and just witnessing and being a light, when you see somebody turn the Lord down, you remember their end, and it does make you tear up in your heart. There's a sad part to it too, because it's real. Amen? So, let me give you these scriptures and we'll stop. We just went over why should you be a soul winner. We're talking about witnessing. Why should you be a witness and a soul winner? Well, it's a command. It's a duty. It's a debt. It's a responsibility. It's a calling. And there is a need. And there is a reckoning. There is a reckoning. We need to be reminded of that a lot, don't we? I do. Because it's easy for us to forget. This world is so stinking deceitful, and it always, they're always putting stuff in front of your face to make you think about something other than what we're supposed to be thinking about. They try to control your thinking. And that's something you need to realize, too. If you don't control your thinking and let God, the Holy Ghost, and the Scriptures control your thinking, somebody else is going to control it. Because there ain't nobody just walking around without their mind being manipulated one way or the other. If you're not purposely putting God's Word in your mind and thinking the way the Lord and trying and working at it and keeping your mind on the Lord, somebody else is putting stuff in your mind. And that might not be too good in this world now. But here's the Scriptures. We started with Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. Mark chapter 8, verse 36. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. Psalm chapter 142, verse 4. And then we read Acts chapter 8 and verse 5 and 8. And 35 and 39. And if you don't like the way that's broken up, just read all of Acts 8. Luke chapter 15, verse 7 and 10. And Psalm chapter 126, verse 5 and 6. That's what we've been over in God's Word today as far as our lesson of witnessing. So, good stuff, huh? And truth. God's Word, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Thank you again for joining in today. And I hope you're not offended by having to sit here for an hour. Man, I could just keep on going. It's just so good. But you know what? Thank you for joining in. Thank you for your patience. And thank you for honoring the Lord and honoring His Word. He will honor you in return. That's what the Bible says. Well, the Lord bless you, and you have a wonderful evening or morning or whatever it is you're having, a day at work, and walk with the Lord. Walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. We've been talking about witnessing, and I'll talk to you or visit and fellowship with you on the next recording, and we'll go into, is witnessing the duty of every Christian? Well, we'll see. What's the Bible say? Bye-bye.